You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. John Bush here. You're tuned in to the Live Free Now podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, where I've been bringing you news, views, tips, tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. This is the third video in our little series of short interviews I did at Confluence out in Bandera, Texas, Molly Englehart's Sovereignty Ranch. And I got to chat with this woman named Dani. I share in the beginning of the interview the impact that she had on me, but she really gave me some powerful insights and nuggets of wisdom just in passing. And I checked out her workshop. She does language stuff and just how we communicate with ourselves, how it manifests our reality, really potent stuff. So there's one more interview to share with you guys, and that's with Molly Englehart. Of course, she hosted the event. That'll be coming up here soon in the podcast feed. But thank you so much for sticking around with the podcast, for listening to as many as you can. Make sure you share with your friends. Make sure you join our daily email newsletter at livefree.academy/email. And thanks for being a loyal podcast listener. All right, without further ado, here's my interview with Dani Katz. What's up, y'all? John Bush here with Dani Katz. She's a quantum languaging consultant and author of Betterarchy. What is it? Something Betterarchy?
The Language of Betterarchy.
The Language of Betterarchy. So just quick introduction. I ran into Dani over at the campsites. We introduced ourselves. She's like, hey, where'd you come from? Came from Bastrop. How long was the drive? It was like 2 hours, 45 minutes. Oh, what'd you do on the drive? Well, I listened to this YouTube video about real estate development, and my wife and I are trying to do real estate development, and we're just overthinking it, and it's really hard. She's like, first she asked permission to give the advice, and she said, try reframing it. Instead of I'm overthinking it, I've been overthinking it, or I was overthinking it, but now I'm ready to move forward. And it was just like such a huge nugget of wisdom that created a massive breakthrough. I haven't stopped thinking about it. So thank you for that. Do you want to share a bit about what that was that you did for me, why language is so important, what reframing is?
For sure. So the basis of my work is how language programs the subconscious mind. So when I see people who are programming their subconscious minds in ways that aren't helping them, it is my natural urge to offer languaging upgrades. Like you said, I do always ask permission. So that one was like when we're talking about struggles or when things are hard and we bring that challenge, we bring that difficulty into the present moment, I like to encourage people, like, you can leave that behind in the past and just acknowledge that, like, this present moment is sovereign and free. I have agency. I can make a new choice.
I love it. And just shortly thereafter, because we're gardening, we have a 10-acre homestead, and me and my wife would always say, like, yeah, you know, we're trying to do the gardening thing, but it's a real struggle, blah, blah, blah. And now we're just catching ourselves. And we've been hip to this whole, you know, language matters things, but just being at this event, being around you, seeing your workshop and stuff, now it's like we're more conscious of it, which makes a big difference.
Awesome.
That's what it's all about. So I imagine maybe you were doing this whole language mindset thing before you kind of got all radical and revolutionary, because the way you speak, you're totally on point with the problems in the world and how to overcome them. When did you, quote unquote, wake up to all that stuff?
I would say around 2001, 9/11. So I've been radical.
Too.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I mean, even as a kid, I was questioning, like, why are we pledging allegiance? Like, why is under God on our money? Like, I was always questioning things, but my background is as a journalist. So I was working in a newsroom during 9/11, and that in itself was weird. And then when, like, North Korea was lobbed into the axis of evil, my news director at the time was like, figure it out. So that's when I started to realize, oh, this whole thing is like a sham show. And so, yeah, I've been super outspoken. I was the lead writer on Pandemic 2, Indoctrination.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've been at the forefront of, like, this nonsense. Most of my career was trying to stop this. But then at some point, like, it gained its own momentum. And then the words were like, hey, we have this other job for you. So that's when I started, you know, quantum languaging and learning about the frequencies of words and, like, really just personally experiencing dramatic shifts in my own life where I had done so much work. But, like, the languaging was kind of the linchpin. Like, that was the piece where things really started to change. And so that had me focusing on sharing Kundalini for personal transformation. But then, you know, my new book, The Language of Betterarchy, is about evolving our society out of hierarchy altogether with our words.
Wow. So yeah, you know, having been aware of all these problems for 2 decades plus, it gives you a unique perspective. Where would you say things are? Did you have like a black pill, frustrated era, and now you're feeling great with all this kind of stuff? Or like, where do you think we are as a movement?
I don't believe in movements. I feel like all movements are psyops.
Okay.
And I feel like freedom and truth and justice are not things that we should fight for, right? Like they're just how they are. I feel like I'd like us to focus more on where we're going, solutions, what that looks like, and staying tenaciously focused on that. And like, we're still ahead of the game. Like we're gathered, we have our freedom, we're exchanging on the open market. So like, we have plenty of time to stand up and shut this down as long as we get off our knees and stand up and shut this down. And that's where I feel like we would be wise to be using our voices more. And everyone who knows what's going on, say no, push back. And it requires all of our voices for us to pivot.
Right on. Can you talk a little bit more about the contrast between focusing on solutions, recognizing that we are free, we have this giant community, we are so strong and resilient, and what comes from that compared to always watching conspiracy documentaries, focusing on all the negativity, the latest thing Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates are doing? How important is that?
Well, it's everything. As you totally know, attention determines experience. So at any moment, like I could focus on like the piece of poo, or I could focus on like the beautiful skyscape. The more energy we put on where we want to go, how we want to live, like with what you're doing, then we bridge the gap between that reality and our present moment. But it takes us being tenaciously focused on how we want to be living, how we want to be treating one another, you know, and living into that with our words, with our visions, with all of it.
Hell yeah. And so for people that are kind of trapped in that space, what advice would you have for an activist or a leader, educator, to help people to break free of that just endless focus? And why do you think that it is so more comforting and simple to focus on the problem?
Because it's simple. Because like, A, it's addictive. There's like a certain dopamine response. There's a certain social cachet in disaster baiting and like knowing the next terrible thing. And the mind has a negative bias. So it's easy for us to go there. And
we have a natural negative bias?
Yes. I'm not sure if that's been—
is that like an original sin kind of thing? Like, what do you mean?
I think that's indoctrination. But I think it's like, at this point, I know in what I've studied of brain science, like I could compliment you once, someone could, you know, you could receive 5 insults, or I could compliment you 5 times, receive 1 insult, your mind is going to loop on the insult. So I think it's on us. Like, it's also easy to outsource our own internal work, right? So my own unintegrated rage from my relationship with my sister, if I'm not dealing with that, then like, oh, let me get really pissed off about the Ukraine war or whatever, right? There's a place for it. When we're doing our internal work, we're also attuned to like, oh, I'm reading this news or I'm watching this, you know, podcast, and I feel like shit. I feel like fear. I feel doom and gloom. Do I want to be cultivating these feelings in my body? And what am I going to be creating if that's what I'm putting in? So I think it takes an attunement to, you know, how we're feeling, and also to, instead of bypassing what we need to deal with and outsourcing our rage, to be dealing with our stuff and doing the inner work.
Okay, great. One thing I realized in my self-development journey is like, I would read all the books and I was studying Buddhism and Tony Robbins and nonviolent communication. And I'm like, this makes sense. I got this. I understand these strategies. But then in the moment when, you know, we're struggling financially, the ex-wife and I are fighting, my kids yelling at me, and I snap, I'm not like thinking about the passage I just read. So a lot of people may be thinking like, sure, I totally get it. Like, that's great that you were able to do that pattern interrupt. But I struggle to do that because I'm just going about my life and I just don't have that mindfulness. Is there any advice you could give to someone to kind of tune into that so they can reframe and be aware of their thoughts and language?
I mean, there are so many tools in terms of like mastering our nervous system, taking deep breaths, squeezing, like all of those things. There's also like setting ourselves up with positive affirmations. You know, my whole thing is like language. So in the morning, I set the intention, like I'm the master of my emotions and I am, you know, intending my day to be full of like peaceful, collaborative, constructive engagements, right? And taking ownership as a reality creator of how I'm wanting things to go, and also setting that up, and I say them out loud so that they're articulated through my system. So if there is a trigger inviting me to lose my shit, I can remember, oh, wait, what was my intention today? And at the end of the day, to make notes as to how well I did, what were my successes, where can I do better next time, and right, and have those receipts is just such a great way for us to stay on top of our evolution and our mastery.
Cool. Yeah, it's living with intention, consciousness, awareness. Unfortunately, a lot of people, even that are awake, we're still carrying out a program, and it's hard to crack through that. But
it's getting easier and easier.
Ah, yes, yes. It's easier than it's ever been to crack through that. In large part, thanks to the work that you're doing and other folks in this space. Can you share a little bit more about your new book and where folks could get it?
Yes, thank you. So my new book is called The Language of Betterarchy. It's about how we can take responsibility for evolving our culture out of hierarchy into betterarchy. I give us tons of tangible tools that we can put into use right now. It's available on Amazon, print, electronic, audio. If you're not down with buying from Amazon, respect. Email me through my site, dannykatz.com, where you can find my podcast, Working With Me, Instagram, etc.
Cool. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, John.
Appreciate it. See you guys.